Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. This is your host, Mama Seven, and we have made it. Every time I get to this part of the day, I get excited. I'm like, oh, I've made it this far. I'm going to continue to be successful. I know that I got good, positive things coming my way. All I have to do is keep pushing, keep working, keep my prayers high, focus on self. I have a whole list of things to do to assist me in this journey. Because remember, everybody didn't make it this far. So there's something special about what we're doing that's going to help us. I want to share something very important that I learned just last night. And you're like, last night, Mama Seven, you up late at night learning stuff? The answer is yes. I'm always learning stuff. I'm always applying myself. And so last night as I was speaking with someone who didn't know me well, I found myself in the middle of getting impatient. Why is this person not listening? Why is this person doing their own thing? Why is this person? And I had to really, 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 really bring it in. I'm going to be patient with this person. I don't know what this person is going through. I don't know what kind of day they've had. I don't know who they're used to working with. So I put on a double serving of patience because I want to be that great fit for someone, right? And so we're speaking and we're going on and on and on. We're reaching that hour mark. And I'm like, okay, all right, I've been patient. I've done everything I said I'm going to do. And as I was saying goodbye, as I was, you know, letting go of the phone call, and was like, I just want to say, and I'm like, okay, you've been saying, I just want to say thank you. I just want to say this has been a wonderful experience. And this sister went on and on and on. I mean, calling, texting, just showering me with appreciation. And I'm like, okay, sister, this is what I do. This is my job. This is my God job. I take it seriously. This is who I am. But at that moment, she couldn't even see all that. All she saw was someone was patient with me. Someone was taking their time with me, allowing me to be who I was while still sharing and being loving with me. And so, and it meant so much to her. It gave me a little reminder, and I want to make sure I share with others. Make sure that you're applying that little extra covering of patience with other people, especially people who may not get the benefit of a wonderful approach or may not have the benefit of a Mother Eagle Ministries or any Elays or temples. A little bit of patience can really help somebody through a situation. And so I sat with that all, you know, for the rest of the evening and into the morning about how something that really doesn't take a whole lot, it was free to me and it didn't cost her anything, but it meant something to her. And so I really want to just encourage people to really, if you can, be that little extra someone. Know that everybody, you know, has their good days, their rough days. Be that kind, patient person, and you may have a friend for life. You know, you may have someone that, when I say pays it forward and does a really solid favor for you, you know, and of course, we're not doing things tit for tat, and we're not doing it to get, but I was glad to see that's something that I thought was, you know, just me being me, meant a whole lot for her, you know. And always understand, you know, we are little beacons of light, okay? You never know who's in a dark space right now. You never know who is going to need your kindness, and then we move forward from there, okay? So that was just kind of on my heart. I wanted to share. Last week we were speaking about God using broken things, including broken people, you know, and it's so important. I love the program. It's one of my, you know, I like the topic of how God can utilize anybody and everybody. And we all need to be mode of getting ready for God to use us. God doesn't necessarily wait until everything is perfect. You know what I'm saying? I keep saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to get on to these videos. I'm going to get to the podcast. Just let me lose these 10 pounds. And God's like, yeah, you told me that last year and last year. That video camera's coming whether you're ready or not. You know, we all have to get, we can get stuck sometimes. Like, hey, I finding our procrastination. No. So it was really good to think about, you know, all the ways that God can make these, in my opinion, miracles happen, because that's what happens when God is utilizing us. And then, you know, true fact. Every person has flaws. Everyone has an issue. So if God is using any one of us, God is using flaws, you know. But he's taking it, and we get to be perfectly imperfect in the middle of this. So, you know, it was a great show and a great reminder, especially for my people that, you know, want to wait till everything's perfect. Mm-hmm. No, you're going to make this thing happen right now. So that was last Wednesday. Then we had the energy report with Sister Unique last night. Oh, she was on it too. If you didn't get a chance to hear it live, you can always go back and listen. That's one of the reasons why I like the blog talk shows, because they're easy to find, easy to go back and listen. No, you can always go to awonderfulapproach.com, or you can go to A Wonderful Approach, the Facebook page. And the programs are right there. Wonderful program. I'm telling you, these planets, they're giving us a little break, you know. And when I say a little break, I'm sure they'll be back at it. I'm sure they'll be back at it. But while they're giving us a break, let's take full advantage of it. Let's go ahead and get those planetary alignments, the theme for this upcoming month. I believe is releasing. And so, and of course, that's a theme that pops up. We can't do enough of that. We cannot do enough of the letting go of what doesn't serve us. In fact, a lot of this program, you're going to hear a little bit of that letting go. But if you want to check out that program, you can always check that out, and listen to it, take notes, do the journal prompts, go through the whole thing. Don't shortchange yourself. You know, I could tell that a lot of energy was put into it. And, of course, that's there for us to benefit from. So take your time, check it out, and let's work on that. And then tomorrow, I mean, this is a full week. And this third week is always a little packed and a little crazy. But I love it, because all that means is that we are actively working on our positivity. We are making things happen in the universe. We are giving that negativity a run for its money. You know, we're saying, hey, look, negativity, you can't be hanging around here, because we have a positive program on every day, just about. And then even on Wednesdays, there's the Power Up at noon with Sister Makita. I believe Sister Anisha has her program going on. And so there's a lot of positivity moving and helping us to remember, hey, look, you can make this happen. You can stay in that positive mindset. You don't have to succumb. Now, I know there's a lot of craziness out there. All day long, I've had some pretty intense conversations about the active negativity going on all day. all day long have had conversations about the housing crisis, the food crisis, the, you know, just the human rights crisis, and all of them are in crisis, all of them. And when I say crisis, that means out of control, in need of dire work, all of that. And that was my whole day. It seems like every conversation directly addressed one of those issues. And it was important to go through because, as it is, of course, the more conversation we have, the more we can talk about solutions, the more we can talk about slowing down the problem. If we can't stop the problem, how do we slow it down? All of day long, we were having these very intense conversations, the conversations to help us with the healing part that we are going through. You know, everybody can see the problem. We can see the problem clearly. But where's the solution? We're still working on that. We're still building on that. So, you know, it's so important that we, even if it may be difficult, open ourselves up to having some of these conversations so that we can say, hey, look, I need to talk about this because it's weighing on my spirit. What can I do about it? How can I be part of the solution? And you'd be surprised, as many problems as running loose, there's solutions as well. So, you know, we get that opportunity to do good things, righteous things, positive things in our communities, right? So today, we have to talk about, and I say we have to talk about, I'd like to talk about. This is something that I enjoy, but I can understand why other people may have difficulty in it. And this is, we're talking about the big C. We're talking about change. And we're talking about change in a positive light, positively. We want to change. Everybody should want to grow. Today I asked a little girl, I said, hey, if you had 3 wishes, what would they be? And she said, a lot of sour candy. And it made me laugh, you know, because she was very serious. And then I stopped and said, I wonder if I asked an adult what wish. Give me 3 wishes. What would you wish for? And candy probably wouldn't come to mind, but yet, you know, I did have some sour candy for her because I knew she liked it. So here she is. Her wish came true. So sometimes, you know, we have to get into our modes where we're wishing for things that are possible. We want things that are possible. But out of all the wants and wishes and everything else like that, most people don't want for change. It's not one of those things. And so even when they're in uncomfortable situations, they don't want change. Even when they realize that where they are now is not working, they don't want change. And so I know others are like, hey, Mama Seven, if they want to be sleeper cells, you know, they want to sleep, why are we asking them to wake up and to be part of a something that they're uncomfortable with? Why can't we let, you know, the sleeping one sleep? And the answer is, that's not life. Sleeping away, not having any moves forward, not working hard, that's not life. That's not positivity. That's not what God set us up for. God knew that change, God knows and encourages us to embrace change. And so sometimes this change can come in a couple different formats. And depending on who we are and where we are, that will get comfortable in this format. So I got some pictures from we have some ice angels. It's so funny. So Sister Melissa and Sister Prentice are in Iceland. Iceland. And I'm like, why are people in Iceland? and they look, they're bundled up, ready for, you know, the next ice age. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, why would people voluntarily be in this much cold? That's because they're not afraid to change and to experience different things, even things that might be like Iceland. We have an angel over in the UK right now. We got a couple of people just traveling across seas, and I'm like, really? Because they're not afraid of change. They're not afraid of trying new things. I wanted to talk about the seasons, and the reason why I wanted to talk about the seasons in change is because there are four seasons and they all have a purpose. And the change we can look at, we can see this change coming. You would be surprised. Even though we can see the change coming, you know, we still try to fight it. You know, nothing fights seasons changing like a child trying to hold on to a T-shirt. You know what I'm saying? Even though we know that this season has changed, that it's time for us to move forward, we still want to hold on to what is comfortable, what is familiar, what we feel we have accomplished. We're trying to hold on to the past. And holding on to the past doesn't make the past so. It just means we're holding on to it. So four seasons, winter, spring, summer, fall. We're in the middle. We're about to move into, I think we're in the middle. I love fall. I love autumn. I love to see, hear the crunch of the leaves. I get excited every time I see those pumpkins. It's so hard for me to resist them. Every time I see them, I'm like, oh, you know, it gets me excited because I know it's pumpkin season. I don't eat pumpkin. I don't drink pumpkin. But I don't use pumpkin for anything but spiritual purposes. But I love to see them. And so all of this is giving us the indicators that, hey, it's fall. In the fall, this is supposed to be our harvest season. If you listen to the energy report, harvest season was said a couple times. And that's because that's part of what we're working on. That's part of where we are. Now is the time for all of the work that we put in during the spring, during the summer. It's time to get that back now. And so all of this is perfect timing, right? Fall has such an important purpose because we're supposed to be preparing for that dormant time, the winter. Now, as much as I like fall, I do not like winter. But I can tell you some very important spiritual rituals fall in the middle of this time. And so as we're moving and as we're talking about each of these seasons, I want you to think about, like, what does your family do? What does your household do? So do you, some people, especially like my northern folks, they may winterize the house. I don't know too much about that. This is when you get the windows ready for it to be chilly. This is where all my gardeners bring their plants in. This is when we try to bundle the kids up for school and everything else like that. Also, fall is a real back-to-school time where the little ones are getting their schooling ready and everything like that. So fall has that time of preparing and planning still, in my opinion. This is what I've done during this time. I am mentally gathering myself in preparing, starting to put in place what's going to happen for next year. You know, and so everyone saw the golden age, the golden era of A Wonderful Approach is coming up. And so here we are getting ready to move into one of the most important years that we're going to have as an organization, as a collective. And so right the fall is the time to do that. We have to start getting our things together so that when this comes in, when this comes in the 1st of November, we'll be ready for it. You know, and sidebar real quick, November event, please make plans. All day, I'm going to say Saturday from about 12, and then we'll do dinner together, Atlanta. But also make plans for Sunday until about 3 o'clock. Don't try to race back. You know, we have things going on Saturday and Sunday. You know, there's a lot of education opportunities and culture in Atlanta. Atlanta is where I did a lot of my teeth cutting at. So, there are a lot of people, places, and things that we're going to be going as guests and learning about. And so when more details come out in the next 2 weeks, I'll definitely let everybody know. But this is part of who we are, right? So during this time, this is when we're going to be spending our time studying. So the fall going into the winter, in the winter, that's when we're going to be studying our Odus, we're going to be studying Orisha for Eleke class. We're going to be studying our spiritual studies. So that come, we're doing all this work in fall and winter so that we'll be ready when spring comes to spring. Our plants will already be in the ground. So the day that you plant your seeds, which is in spring, is not the same day that you're going to actually see the fruit come. Making sure, you know, spiritually speaking, during the fall, we should be doing a lot of our prep work, okay, making sure we have our journals, making dates as to when we're going to be doing retreat. Also, you know, I strongly advise, you know, Thanksgiving, which is right in the middle of the fall slash winter, that we're in Christmas holiday, that we're spending this time doing extra preparation for ancestors, and we're including our ancestors in our holidays. And all of this is a change from what we normally do. Okay. And when we're in the middle of this fall and then we are heating up our cars, and when we are having to wear long johns under our whites, when we're going through all of this, guess what? You might miss summer. You may have kind thoughts of summer like, man, I remember during the summertime, I didn't have to bundle up and put on coats and do all this to take my offerings out. I didn't have to do all that. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay to miss summer, but that doesn't mean you put off your fall duties. Okay. Wintertime, we have certain, you know, everyone knows about the big grain ritual that I do every year, and that's right there, December 17th, wintertime. And winter really extends into, I want to say March. It goes into, it's not just, you know, January. Winter is winter. Winter gets its own 3 months. Now, how cold it gets and how bad it gets, that's going to be up to you. But during right there in the winter, my big winter thing is the turning over of the new year. So some people want to say, hey, new year is for spring, and I get that. I get that. But the calendar says the new year is in January, and so, well, from December to January. This is when we have to really sit down and make the commitments. What are you going to do? And that's a big change moment, too. Now, it should be not, I'm going to ask you to do it differently. It should be because right here is when we have to start. In order to make a commitment to do something, you have to have a critical look as to what's not being done. You don't just wake up in the morning, like, I'm not going to make a commitment to stop smoking. Because I don't smoke, you know, so it's kind of difficult for me to make a commitment not to smoke. So this commitment is going to require for you to really look at your life as it is now and say, hey, what do I need to improve on? How do I need to operate? Also, you know, right during this time, especially at the beginning of the year, I strongly advise everybody get their first of the year reading. so that you know what are your priorities for the first of the year, how what comes first for you in your life, what changes actually need to happen, and so and not to be afraid of these changes. Being fearful of change doesn't stop the change from coming. Doesn't mean it's not necessary. It just means that you have some work to do. And if you need help in this work, this is a great time to sit back and say, hey, look, I have had the same, I don't want to say New Year's resolutions, but I've had the same work and commitment to work for the last 7 years. It may be time to switch that up. It may be time to look at it differently. I know, oh my goodness, just speaking about change, one of the rudest, in my opinion, the rudest agent of change is time. So here I am, minding my business, living my life, and time wants to come in and demand things change overnight. You know, time comes in and says, hey, I'm going to age you. You're going to feel your knees in the morning. Your back is going to be on fire tomorrow. And so to me, one of the big things that make you change is time. That aging process, and we're just talking about physical right here, whether you like it or not, that physical change is very, very necessary and is going to happen. Now, can you work and try to say, oh, I'm going to try to make this a smooth change? That would be smart. Can you go and say, hey, I'm going to make this change immediately. I'm going to go cold turkey. You can try. So out of all of the heavy change agents, I'm going to say time is one of those, because time is going to ask you to change regardless if you really want to. And those physical changes to me are just they're that manifestation that a season has changed. Sometimes when we're looking at seasons, winter, spring, summer, fall, we're thinking, you know, maybe months. But there's also seasons in your life. You know, the maiden, the mother, and the crone. There's also, you know, seasons in the universe where there are different stages of how this is going to work. So I think time is that number one agent of change, because it's going to ask, you know, it's going to put these physical demands in place. And sometimes you can say, okay, I can see, just like I can see winter, I can see spring, you can see some changes are going to be necessary. So as I've gotten older, I need to recognize that my body might need more sleep. That's not a crime. That's not a crime. Your body needs more sleep? Fine. Give it more sleep. It's not that bad of a deal. But when we try to fight what our body needs, those basic needs, I can tell you're going to lose. You are going to lose. Another agent of change that time brings in, or is supposed to bring in, I'm going to say is first have physical changes, wisdom changes. Now, about 2 years ago, and I'm 50, so I'm 51. And so about 2 years ago, someone corrected me, because I was like, oh, time heals all wounds. And they were like, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Time alone doesn't heal wounds. You putting in work over time is going to create a change. Not just time alone, You know, there is the thing as an old fool. You know, that old fool, blah, 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 that's someone who's gotten older. They've done the time thing, but they haven't taken the opportunity to get wiser in the middle of it. So they just old fools, right? So time doesn't automatically make things better, and time doesn't automatically make you wise. What happens is time gives you opportunities to continue to learn a lesson that you may have needed to go back and relearn and reapply and everything else like that. And so, again, that time agent, it should be creating wisdom, but wisdom requires work. It requires, you know, requires you putting in the time. And if you don't put that time in, you're not going to get the wisdom, okay? So we spoke about the physical changes. We spoke about the mental changes. What about something that I get tried up on every day? Tried up, meaning, you know, when I say tried up, I mean like I was minding my business and someone just came over here and tried me up, you know. Time should be working with, I want to say, our emotional maturity. And I was thinking about our dear sister Melissa, and she'll tell you quickly, oh, I'm a lot better than I was last year. Last year I would have beep, 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 you know, so we have that. And so time, hopefully, can, we're hoping that it changes emotional maturity, but just like wisdom, it's not time alone. It's not. It requires the work to be done. It requires positive energy going forward. It requires that, you know, people are willing to put in the work. And when it comes to that emotional maturity, there are aspects of that that I don't think anybody enjoys working on. You know, emotional maturity usually means that you have to go through something. You know, no one wants to be tested on their emotional maturity. You know, you're going through traffic, somebody flicks you off, and you're like, you know, you can respond a couple of different ways. God has allowed you to say, hey, you can respond however you want. That's free will. But emotional maturity is going to say, even though you can respond in however you want, we're not going to, we don't have to be offensive. We don't have to be disrespectful. We don't have to be rude. We don't have to do any of that thing, those things. So that's where the, you know, emotional maturity comes in. So when we have change, not only do we have a calendar that's pushing us through these seasons, even if you don't want to go through them, you're still getting pushed through them, you know. So winter brings in New Year's with our New Year commitments. Spring, what does spring bring? A wonderful approach. Spring brings about our devotions when we are going through this major purification process and where we are trying to say, hey, if we're living for God, we're going to spend 30 days living for God, purifying our body, our mind, our language. We're going to go through this process of eliminating things that don't serve us. Springtime, we're going through this major, major devotion. And then right there at summer, we're at the water, a major cleansing. And so you see how spiritually it's set up for you to have support as you're going through these changes. Certain changes may be harder for some than others. You know, if you do not like to be by yourself, if you, you know, are always feeling lonely, left out, whatever, winter may be difficult when we're not spending as much time out socializing and talking. That's okay. Communicate that so that we can say, hey, look, I know wintertime gets a little rough. You know, wintertime with the holidays there, sometimes the holidays aren't fun times for people. And so winter can be hard on people emotionally. And that may not change overnight. So let's take the time to say, okay, look, we know this is difficult. Let's spend the time, let's spend the energy, let's do what we need to do so that we can be assisting and guiding each other through this process, okay? As we're going through our life, we need to be able to look, you know, we go right back to the toolbox. Mama K ain't far off of this toolbox. What tools do we have to help us understand and process physical change in our life? I know, you know, just imagining going from a young maiden, you know, this is a girl, girl to young woman, and the changes that happen with that between puberty, between understanding the responsibilities of childbearing, understanding the responsibilities of work. You know, the young girl goes from this fun, frolicking, having, you know, all of this lovely, chasing butterflies energy to the mother, the one who's bearing all of the responsibility. She's bearing so much responsibility, she is literally carrying life within her. Now, that's responsible. So we go from this carefree all the way into this maiden. That's a major change. And I can tell you, those types of, those levels of change, when you're going through those levels of change, they usually require assistance. So don't be afraid to say, hey, you know, I need some counseling. I need some, you know, some friends. I need some something, because this change is so major. I know as I was studying the Divine Feminine, I stayed many years with the crones, with the old ladies. Had a great time. I loved it. All I did was sit at the hem of the skirts and listen. And laugh when they laugh. And, you know, I took a couple notes here and there, but I didn't have to chase the world. I didn't feel the weight of the responsibility of the world. And I remember when it was time for me to study another phase of womanhood, and they sent me over to the maiden, I was like, oh, no. I really want to stay here with y'all. I want to stay here with the elders, and I want to sit here and laugh of old times. And they were like, you know, you're laughing and enjoying a time span that you haven't really studied. You know, the crone kind of enjoys the memory of love while the maiden is actually going through it, enjoying the love and also enjoying dealing with the heartache of it. And so what I find is that as we go through these seasons in our life, that each season serves a purpose. Even the seasons between young person, you know, developing maturity into an adult and then moving into an elder, each stage has their own importance and their own thing that they're supposed to be bringing to light. And there are times where we may want to stay in living la vida loca 18 forever, but that's not reality. Reality is we are 18 for a moment. We're there to learn our lesson, and then we're supposed to move forward. We have been learned. Once we have acquired the knowledge of that, and sometimes even before we acknowledge this, we get the knowledge, it is only for a certain amount of time. Then, unfortunately, all my Peter Pan folks, unfortunately, after that, you are held responsible for growing up. You're held responsible for being for accepting that season has changed and now it's time to learn new things. I know I have, and I have said this many times, when I was parenting, and I still parent, but when I was parenting my children, especially my oldest, I loved every stage, every stage. So when he was a baby and, you know, he couldn't even walk, you know, I carried him and he had a stroller and we were here, we were there, we were everywhere. And it was fantastic. I loved it. And then when he didn't need a stroller anymore, he could walk on his own, I said, oh, this is good too, you know. And then when I didn't have to carry a diaper bag, I was like, oh, man, I'm out of here. Come on, dude. We're going to the park. We're going to have fun. We're going to do this. And so every stage of his life, I enjoyed. Every stage I thought was miraculous. I said, here we go. This, what are we going to do now? How is this going to change? Blah, blah, blah. It was great, right? And even now as he's moving and doing young man things, okay, making real big moves, and, oh, I couldn't be prouder. Oh, I am a proud mama. And so, but I recognize this is a change in mothering. He doesn't need me every day. He doesn't need me, you know, every time something comes up. He's going to try to do it himself. And I'm like, okay, I can support you with that. So even as in a position like mother is such a, mother is that cover all. That's the everything. I am everything to this person. So even that changes as the child changes, as the needs change, as the mother changes, because I sit back and as my youngest is preparing to leave for school, I don't know where you think he's going, but no. As he's making plans to leave, and as my last child is leaving the house, I stop and think, I'm like, wait a minute. What's going to happen when my mothering duties change to the point where I need care, you know? So I go from doing all this work and chasing behind them and kissing boo-boos and everything. There's going to come a time when I have needs, and I'm going to be looking at them like, hey, dude, you coming to mow the grass? What's going on? So more changes. So I brought up those changes because there's still only one word. It's still only mother. Mother is the word. But even within that mothering, there are different stages to what we're doing and how we're doing it. And we have to be open to how these stages change. There goes that word again, change. There's different seasons to this. I remember when the baby graduated from elementary school, and I thought we were going to be in elementary school forever. And we are, 6 years is a long time. But when he left elementary school, I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? He's not going to need me. You know, and for half a second, panic there. And I was like, well, hold on. They're made to grow and change. They're made to do that. They're supposed to. And so, like, the picture that I have for the radio is a bunch of leaves, and they're different colors, and they're on the ground. And so I wonder when that leaf was birthed to that branch, you know, did it think, oh, I'm going to be here forever? You know, this is my home. I came into this plane of existence on this tree, this big, strong oak tree. Can't nothing knock me down, blah, blah, blah. Did that leaf know that it was going to stay there all this life? Or did that leaf know that I am evidence of a season? I am part of a season. I'm part of a cycle. And in that cycle, I am created on this branch. Ending part of my cycle is going to be on the ground. And some little spiritualist named Mama Seven is going to love me and pick me up and want to take pictures of my colors and everything else like that. But my end stage is not going to be on this branch. And so, you know, how I love to look to nature for examples of how to be. How are we going to make this happen? How does nature handle this? And nature has some very real examples of how it handles aging, how it accepts the seasons, how it begins to, you know, utilize its old, how it utilizes its young, the cycle of birthing and regeneration and everything else like that. There's so much that nature is showing us about change, and none of it is resistant. Those things that are resistant, what happens? I'm going to tell you what happens. They are bitter. Meaning, like, fruit out of season is never as good as fruit in season. I don't know why. You know, I do. Because in season is that perfect condition in which this fruit is to grow. Like, being from Florida, I'm accustomed to seeing orange trees and grapefruit trees and mango trees, and all of these trees are blooming. We know when they're blooming. They're heavy branches. But I don't ever remember growing up seeing apple trees. And that's because apples require a bit of cold air to grow. So apples usually come from the northwest part of the United States. And I thought that was very interesting. And I remember being a young person, like, okay, I see oranges there, so where is the apples at? And this is not the season for apples. This is not the climate for apples. Apples are not going to do well here. So what are they going to do? Taste bitter. And we don't want to be bitter. We want to be sweet, juicy, ready, and everything else like that. So we have to understand we want to be in-season fruit. We want to be in our perfect climate. If you are a pineapple, even Florida is not going to be hot enough for you. So we have to find ways to get to your right climate, get to your right season. Don't argue when it's not your season. Just be aware of what is the season and be aware of when you're going to have to change, okay? I think another hard change, and this kind of goes with emotional maturity, but I want to say it out loud. I have emotional maturity, but I also want to say mental maturity. You know, and mental maturity, I think, is what we're talking about now. When we're talking about knowing the difference between knowing that a tomato is a fruit, doesn't go in a fruit salad, I was like, oh, you're a genius. You know? That's mental maturity. That's when you know what you want to know, but being able to apply it, that's the mental maturity. And that definitely has to have a change as well. The things that you thought were okay to say, do, and interact with when you were 20 probably are not going to be appropriate at 30 and are going to be out of the question at 40. So add in that mental maturity, and how do you know what you're doing and when you're doing it, and, you know, are you putting too much emphasis on X, Y, or Z? Or are you avoiding a problem that you're having altogether? Okay. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in, listening, going through the changes with me. If you have someone that you see, that you talk to, and you can see they're having a difficult time making a change, I'm going to ask you to be compassionate. I'm going to ask you to be patient. I'm going to ask you to possibly share the idea that change can be difficult. I would love for you to, you know, just be more of a guiding support as we see people who are having a difficult time change. I'm going to take it a step further. As we get ready to hit these holidays, everyone, holidays are not a good time for everybody. There are some people where the holidays remind them of family members that were lost, of situations that don't exist anymore or should exist. Holidays are not always happy, happy joys for people. So I want everyone kind of to be on the lookout. How do you look out for our friends' general mental health? How do we be kind to them? How can we show them, you know, that they'll be okay? You know, and this may require a phone call or two. This may require some serious cleansing. This may require, you know, however we can help in these moments, keep an eye out for that, okay? And knowing that your efforts are well-intended is going to make such a big difference, and it will help someone in their journey through their healing, okay? All right. As we always do every Wednesday, almost every program, I'm really proud about that, but definitely every Wednesday, we end in prayer. I'm going to also specify when it comes to prayer. When you're doing your prayer, take a moment to be fully engaged in your prayer, okay? So prayer right here, and even though this is done on a radio mic, you know what I'm saying? This is done and recording and stuff, but for half a second, there's no one in the world present but me, and I am having a conversation with my God. I'm not trying to drive. I'm not trying to bathe. I'm not trying to keep an ear out on a baby. I'm not doing anything but having a conversation with my God, because I know there's going to come a time where I'm going to need God to send down a couple of angels dedicated just to listening to me, not listening to me while playing on the flute, while doing it. No, put the instruments down for a minute. Focus on me for a second. So I wanted to just share that so that people understand God is worthy of your full attention. And when you're giving your full attention in these moments of prayer, it can be felt. It can be felt. It can be, it can add depth to your prayer, create more of a spiritual dynamic where you are feeling the prayer, not just saying it, not just hearing it, but, you know, you're feeling it. And also, you know, this gives God the understanding that you know that this prayer is important. Things that are important, we take our time to do, correct? Things that are important, we wouldn't let, if we're trying to defuse the bomb, we're not going to have the radio playing in the background. I promise you, you're not. You're going to have everything turned off, focus only on it, because why? It's important. And so, you know, I just want to encourage everybody, take a minute when you're doing your prayer. And we don't even pray that long. The prayers, you know, most prayers are pretty short in length. But give it all to God. Give it all to God. Allow that to be your only focus. And so as you're moving forward, you'll know, okay, I gave my complete 100%. Just try it. Try it. And you'll see it building from there. And you'll see yourself starting to get a more natural understanding of what this prayer is supposed to be, okay? Father, Mother God, we come before you sincerely We come before you gratefully. We come before you joyfully. We come before you humbly. We come before full of anticipation of blessings to come. We come before you full of gratitude and thanks of blessings that have already been here, already received. I want to thank you, God, for the blessings of these children, all of our children. May they be protected where they are. May their minds be safe. May their bodies be safe. May they stay close to their parents so that they can learn and gather knowledge and develop their relationship, their independent relationship with you, God. Please don't let those apples fall too far from the tree. God, we come before you in this season of harvest with our baskets full of hope, full of kindness, full of love, knowing that these were all of the seeds that we planted for the year, and we are grateful to see them come and bloom and harvest. We're thankful for the bees, our little guardian angels that are coming forth and pollinating us and spreading the good word, and spreading the positivity. God, we want to thank you for even the pruning that had to occur to create good, strong fruit, good, strong branches. Thank you for taking the time to correct us, taking the time to move those things that we don't need away from us. God, we want to say thank you for all that we have been put in place for. God, I want to thank you for good health. I want to thank you for safety on the highway. I want to thank you for all the wonderful connections that you allow me so that our light can shine together in unison. I know all these things are possible, God, because I've seen them. I know that you are still in the business of miracles, and I look for them every single day. God, I want to thank you for the help of all of us here and all that will come. God, continue to guide us and watch over us as we are doing our best in this understanding. Thank you so much. Amen.